Hey guys, and welcome to this week's On the Trail podcast with Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray. Stay tuned. You'll get your inside look at the current going-ons within Iowa State athletics, specifically recruiting. But before we start the show, here's a shout-out to our sponsor, The Exercise Coach, that's located down on Mill Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. The Exercise Coach, it's changing the way that you think about fitness. Achieve the results that you want, no matter what they are, with these two 20-minute workouts per week. Now, hey, let's jump on the trail. Here are your hosts, Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray.
Hey, Cyclone Fanatic fans. Welcome to another week of On the Trail podcast. I'm Adam Gray, and starting off here on the podcast, we got a little guest here. We got someone from our good friends and the sponsors of the On the Trail podcast, Exercise Coach, Patrick. Patrick, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, thought I'd have you on here too. You were someone who found the Exercise Coach by listening to the On the Trail podcast.
Yep, that's true.
Appreciate you listening. Appreciate the support.
Oh, of course.
Tell me a little bit, I guess, before you started the Exercise Coach, you know, what your typical workouts were. Were you doing any working out? What were you doing before?
Yeah, of course. I was just going to the gym like every other average Joe, 3-4 times a week. I was raised in a family where it was very old school. So looking or hearing about the Exercise Coach, I was initially a little skeptical. I listened to you guys' podcast quite religiously, and I thought that it'd be something, you know, to look into. My girlfriend had some shoulder issues in the past. We used to lift together, and she was off the wagon for a while, and she was getting really restless. But she wanted to get back into it, but she was afraid she was going to aggravate her shoulder again. So I heard you guys' podcast. I heard about the Exercise Coach, and their offices wasn't far from where we lived. So I was like, hey, you know, I heard great things about this place. I would love to, you know, check it out, see if that's something that we would might want to get into, or if nothing else, something that you would like to get into. And she was like, oh yeah, of course, let's do it. So we set up an appointment with David, and she had her workout. She, at the time, it was the four workouts, so she started that. And she really liked the workouts. Initially, I didn't partake in that because I was a little skeptical because of my upbringing, you know, very old school. So I wasn't really quite sure exactly how to feel about it. But after she finished her workout, she was telling me, like, you know, I feel really good. My shoulder's already feeling really better. I leave the 20 minutes, you know, exhausted, but a good exhausted, just not tired.
Not in pain.
No, not in pain at all.
Yeah.
She didn't have any issues with her shoulder at all, and she felt a lot better. So I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe I should, you know, give it a shot. And I went to that workout thinking, like, okay, I'm just going to nail this out. Probably think it's not going to be too bad. And, well, suffice it to say, it worked me over. I was very surprised, very shocked. It was one of the better workouts that I had in a very long time. And once my four were done, I was essentially sold. So now we're been loyal followers and working well with David and everyone else at the Exercise Coach since mid-July, and probably one of the better investments that we made since then. And I cannot recommend enough just how great of a workout that we get by everyone at the Exercise Coach. Love it so much. And I know to anyone that's listening that you hear Jared and Adam saying, you know, that this is a good place, but please take it from me as someone as an outside source. It is an awesome, awesome, awesome place to get a workout in. So please give them a call, reach out to them. They would love to work out with you and train you. And yeah.
You know, Patrick, it's funny you say this too, is I get this a lot from people I talk to, and I'll be honest, I was one of them. You hear 20-minute workouts, and you do. I don't buy it. I just don't buy it, right? I mean, 20-minute workouts, you're not going to get the workout that you need. And all it really takes is one full workout, going there and checking it out, which we provide to you for free. You get four free ones if you call them and mention Cyclone Fanatic. So it's funny that you say that, because I'll never forget the first time Jared ever went there. He calls me up on the road right afterwards. He's like, dude, I can't even move right now. I can't get out of my car. No pain, like you said, which is perfect for your girlfriend, but it does. It can kick your butt.
Yes, it definitely does. That was one of the main things I was so skeptical, because I was spending, you know, at least an hour at the gym doing my own thing, sometimes an hour and a half on days when I'm not doing too much, even up to 2 hours. And yet I was, even with those types of workouts, I still wasn't given or worked as hard as those 20-minute workouts. Yeah. I mean, it's just boom, 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 one right after another.
Now your time's freed up to spend listening to podcasts, which, you know, which is great. That's really what we're trying to do here.
Of course.
Now, the metabolic comeback starts tomorrow, which we've talked about on the radio here for the last couple of weeks. I understand you and your girlfriend are doing this?
Yes, yes.
That's great. So I did it. I just got back from Vegas, so I am deeply needing to do this where I can cleanse my body from some of the booze that I've been drinking. So I'll be starting it back up tomorrow too. But the nice thing you got going for you is you and your girlfriend are doing it together.
Right, right. One of the main things that me and the girlfriend wanted was we wanted to have the experience of being able to get healthier together, because either at points she would be trying to get healthier and I'd just be like, eh, not feeling it, and vice versa. But the best thing with the exercise coach is that it doesn't take too long, but we're also working out together and actually feeling the benefits of being able to work out with the exercise coach and the benefits that comes with it together, so we can see our own progress and also the fact that we can cheer each other on and give ourselves the support and be able to move forward, which is something that we're really looking forward to with the metabolic thing. And we're really looking forward to it. We want to try to give our bodies, you know, that healthy purge of all the fatty stuff that we've been building up within our bodies. And
well, I'm just telling you, man, the first 5 days are going to be tough, but then after that, your body's going to get used to it, and you're going to think to yourself, this is great, and you're going to feel so much better. So stick with it, and then, you know, hopefully you have great results. Now, I guess, transitioning over, big Iowa State fan, right?
Oh,
listen,
yeah,
to the podcast,
course.
So what do you think so far of this football season? Early Matt Campbell's career, starting off a little bit rocky. Obviously, they're 1-5. 1-5 now? 1-6?
1-6.
1-6. What's your take? Are you still buying the Matt Campbell hype train a little bit, or cooled off a little bit?
Of course. I hear different opinions all the time. And I went into the season, you know, maybe thinking of an outside shot of a bowl game, but probably at best like 4-8, 5-7.
We'll apologize for leading you to believe the bowl game. We probably played up the hype a little bit too much on that one, but
you have to hope for something.
Yeah.
But seeing just all the attrition that happened over the course of the last year, it was going to be a very tall order. But for the first two games against UNI and Iowa, it was like, uh-oh, what's happening? But seeing the progress that they had against Baylor and against Oklahoma State and the minor progress against TCU, Texas, bit of a step back, but I'm not really looking into it that much. I'm really sold on the Campbell campaign. I really think he's taken Iowa State in a really good direction. To me, the main thing about the season was just being able to look good enough to be able to keep the recruiting afloat.
Yeah.
Because we need the players. The players is what's going to take Iowa State to the next level, and that's what was most important. So looking at the season like that, like looking respectable enough, that's like, hey, we can be a really good team. We just need to fill some spots.
Sure.
Campbell can be like, look what I've been able to do with the hand that I've been dealt. When I get players, sky's the limit.
Yep. So I have two final questions for you here. First, this is obviously a recruiting podcast. If Iowa State could get one more recruit for basketball, who do you want to be?
It'd have to be Wigginton.
Yep. Okay. There we go. I think we're all on the same page there. And number two, you're big. You listen to all the podcasts, you said.
Mm-hmm.
Which podcast is your favorite here on Cyclone Fanatic?
Well.
No, I mean, you could say it. You could say whatever you want. You're not going to make us mad unless it's one that we're not on. Then we'll probably just kick you out of here. But
well, given the fact that I'm here speaking on this one, I would have to say it would have to be this one.
Yeah, that's smart. That's a good call by you. I mean, the Fallcast has got its following, but that has Charter and Williams on it, which kind of negates it a little bit. And Rob Gray, while he does a good job, he's the lesser of the two Grays, and I think everyone's, you know, can understand that a little bit. So clear and obvious choice here, Patrick. I want to thank you for coming on and talking a little bit about the exercise coach.
Oh, of course.
It's always good to get somebody in here that, obviously they're a sponsor, right? They're paying for it. So people are going to be skeptical when they hear us talking about it. I cannot stress it enough, and it's good to have you come in here and tell people a little bit about it and how great of a workout it is. So thanks again, and appreciate the support for the podcast, and go Cyclones.
Of course, go Cyclones.
All right, now bringing on the Jared Stansberry. I feel like if we're on like Monday Night Football right now and you had to introduce yourself, you're big time enough now, Jared, where you would be the Jared Stansberry.
No, I would probably just say Jared Stansberry, Clarinda.
Clarinda High School. Williams would say, Chris Williams, God's country. He would say something like that while he's holding a Bush Light in his hand. Yeah, but that's a good – I'm going to do that for now.
And a Fuzzy's Taco. He'd have a Fuzzy's Taco on the other.
Gosh. Unbelievable. He would, for sure. Well, yeah, so we're here to talk a little bit about some basketball recruiting.
Yeah.
Nice little
– You just went off the grid, so you don't know anything.
Yeah, I was yeah. You guys were sending a lot of messages when I was in Vegas. I hope you guys were not offended by the fact that I was ignoring you. Because the way
I sent you a single message.
Well, Slack. You guys were talking a lot on Slack.
Yeah.
And I was not communicating at all. The way I looked at it, though, I probably was a little overserved. Anything I would have communicated back to you probably wouldn't have made any sense.
It probably just would have been mean. I'm just glad that you just you just stayed away for a while.
Especially after Iowa State lost, and not only did they lose, they didn't cover.
Yeah.
Maybe I may or may not have had a small wager on the Clones to cover the game.
You were in Vegas. You can't lie. I mean, you don't have to lie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had a wager on the Clones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was really hoping they could punch it in there late for a nice backdoor cover for me.
Did Charter leave his hotel room?
He did. He was usually the first one in bed.
That's not surprising.
Not surprising. But I will say this. It wasn't early. It wasn't like he was going to bed early. Most of us were just up kind of late.
What, 10:30?
No. Gosh, 12:30.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
You guys are night owls, Adam.
No, I was 3 o'clock in the morning.
I don't believe you.
2:30, yeah, which out there, yeah.
That's 5 o'clock in the morning.
I know. Hammer a couple five-hour energies. And the thing is, we're not crazy either. Like, you know, you think a guy's trip going out to Vegas. A lot of it was just sitting on a sports book and drinking. And then you get down when the games are over.
Then you go to the strip club.
No, I've been to Vegas 6-7 times, never been to a strip club. Never. I don't go to strip clubs here either, so that's not real.
I've never been to a strip club at all.
You haven't? Good. Yeah. You don't need to. There's no reason to go to a strip club. Unless bachelor parties are one thing. You know, you got to go for a bachelor party. But no, we didn't do any of that. You just play some blackjack, play some craps. I finally learned how to play craps. Do you know how to play that game?
No.
It's stupid. It's the dumbest game in the world.
We're going to go play cards you missed out on this on Thursday. We're going to go play cards with Tim Mullen.
Yeah, Nebraska Furniture Mart. Yeah, we are. I feel like he'd be pretty easy to take money from. Yeah, I mean, I've
never played, so.
You've never played Texas Hold'em?
Well, I have, but not in a long time. Not okay. For real money against other people.
Well, bring a lot of money then. I'll teach you how to play.
I don't have a lot of money,
I'll
so
teach
that's
you by
be
taking
a,
it from
a problem.
You know, it's funny. I used to play Texas when I was in college. Is probably when I played it the most. I played it a lot in college. I haven't played it in a while, but, I mean, it'll still be nice to take some money from you.
I went to the casino one time in Omaha. I had a $20 bill.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was not in a very good state of mind. I shouldn't have been in the casino. And this girl called me a word that starts with a P.
Pansy?
No. So many times that I bet my whole $20 on one hand of blackjack, lost my last 20 bucks. It's my only experience at the casino.
You know, if you go out to Vegas at night, the cheapest hands you can play there is 15 bucks per hand.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's tough. It used to be back in the day you could play for, and I'm sure if you go like off the strip, you could probably find it for cheaper. But it used to be you could $5. That's more my kind of playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably what I should have been doing.
Yeah.
Especially since I didn't really know what I was doing. But yeah, basketball recruiting. Hilton Madness was Friday night. Had a handful of guys.
I was bummed I missed it. That when I found out that I was going to be out of town for that, I was bummed. I was going to take the kids to it. I hear it was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Lower level full?
Lower level was full. This is my thoughts on Hilton Madness.
Let's hear it.
Someone like you and Jake and Owen and Olivia and your wife.
I'm interested to hear what you're going to say now after you.
You guys would love Hilton Madness.
Okay.
Someone like me.
Yeah.
Someone like Krogs.
So
it was okay.
Dorks don't like it? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying someone our age, you know, the college demographic.
Yeah.
It's
kind of boring.
Yeah.
But what can they do then to make it more enticing for the younger generation?
That's what I don't know.
See, I mean,
because you want to, like, Iowa State tries to keep a lot of that family aspect into it, you know?
Which is important.
So I see why it is the way that it is, but when you look at Kentucky and Kansas, it's not the way that, you know, isn't how it is.
Have you been to those?
No, but when you can watch them on TV.
Yeah. So there's got to be a way to do it where you can
play up
to the younger demographics, yeah, but also make it family friendly. Yeah. I mean, were they playing the bumping the music at all? I mean, no.
And see, that's what I'm saying. You could, you know, I know a lot of places will get a DJ in there and they'll really get it going, and it's a party, you know.
Yeah.
And
you're building the excitement for the season, right? Yeah. You're really getting at the fans jacked up.
This just feels like a PR event, but it is. No student. It doesn't get a student jacked up, I don't feel like. The average one.
What percentage of people were students versus families?
Much smaller than.
More families than students.
Yeah, there was a lot more families than there was students.
Because it's a Friday night too.
Yeah.
So let's be honest. Students like to go out on Friday nights. Mm-hmm. I wonder if. But
I mean, all of my friends.
Yeah.
Talked about going.
None of them did.
Not a single one did.
Yeah, but here's the thing, too. Friday night is a big night for you to do it because you want families from not just the surrounding Ames area to be able to come.
Yeah.
Friday is a little bit easier for that. But at the same time, it does take away from students because students like to go out and drink.
And I'm not trying to criticize the event because I think it's a great event, you know.
And as our good friend Patrick was just on earlier saying, recruits. The recruits, like you like to bring in the recruits for us for this. But is Iowa State bringing in the recruits?
I just don't know what... What can you do with a one-hour event, you know? Like, what? Like, no, not many big-time recruits are going to want to drive however far to come to a one-hour event, you know?
Is that all the longer it was?
It was about an hour and a half, yeah.
Okay, so you make it a little longer. What do you do? They have to have it a little longer, right? The players do autographs, too?
They loosely, like, afterwards.
No, you got to make that a big event, too. And so here I'm speaking out of turn because I wasn't there, so I can't really talk about it. But I think you make it where you open it up early to where fans can come in, and they might have done this, and get autographs from all these players. And you show
the doors open an hour early.
And you show the recruits, hey, look, when you come here as a player, look how much you're loved by these fans.
Well, yeah.
They want your autograph. They want everything. This is what they want. They want to interact with you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean – players,
just imagine recruits
like the love, right?
What the line would be like if they're like, oh, we're going to have the basketball team out there, you know, an hour early, signing autographs. The line would stretch all the way around Hilton.
Yeah. There's no question.
Yeah.
But here's another thing, though, too. They just did have the Cyclone Fan Fest not too long ago as well.
It was the first week of school.
Well, I mean, that's not that long ago, but I'm just saying they did have another opportunity for them to sign a lot of autographs. So they do that, but yeah, it'd be interesting. I guess next year I'm really interested to go, and then I can talk to you a little bit more about this as far as what they could probably do to make it a little bit better event. And more than anything,
I don't want people to think I think it's a bad event because that's not what I mean at
all.
No,
no. You know? It's the same thing for us at podcasts, right?
Yeah.
We try to get better every week. We do the live video too with Jeff Woody. Every week we try to get it better. And I would say it's no different. Every year they're going to be doing this madness. They're going to try to get it to be a better and better event. So I think it's fair to sit here and just say, hey, they could maybe play a little bit more music, more of a DJ, as you said.
Like,
I think some Garth Brooks would go a long way.
The way someone described it to me was...
You're just going to gloss over that comment?
Yeah, I'm just going to ignore you.
Okay.
Someone turned to me and they said, I feel like I'm sitting in an Iowa Energy game. That's just the vibe that it had.
Okay.
Which, that's not bad. You know, energy games are fun, but...
You know, it's funny. This seems to be kind of a reoccurring theme here. Iowa State football turnout has been great. Considering the product for the last 3 or 4 years, the fan base continues to show up over and over. The one complaint from people is, though, that they need to maybe make it more of a pump-up environment, right? Whether it's the entrance song, Sweet Caroline, get rid of it. So it seems like someone up there in the Iowa State marketing department, there's a good opportunity. The Iowa State fan base is thirsty for this kind of environment.
Yeah.
When are they going to take that next step?
I don't know.
Who needs to make that change?
I have no idea. That's not my job. My job's just to sit here and say,
this is what you would do.
This is if it was me,
So, I mean, you're there. Recruits were there, right?
Yeah.
They had some recruits in campus. Were you watching them at all? Did they seem engaged by this?
I'm going to be honest. Once the scrimmage started, nobody did.
Was somebody DJing the dunk contest?
Scott Sipker, you know, narrated it. He was like the
yeah. So he was DJing it. He was
emceeing
it.
Yeah,
MC. Is that better way of saying it? Emceeing it?
But they didn't really like – they might have played like some instrumentals, but I don't really remember them playing like music, you know?
Okay.
That's, I mean.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the recruits that were actually here for this for this visit. The big one that you were saying was going to show up here on campus was Torrance Watson, correct?
No, he was there.
He was there. Oh, I'm sorry.
Jalen Suggs, the guy from Minnesota. I don't think he ended up making it.
Okay.
But, yeah, he's probably going to be one of the top prospects in the 2020 class when they finally rank those guys.
Very nice.
Yeah. And then Xavier Foster, we've talked about him.
Moskalusa.
The last 2 weeks. Well, not last week since you ruined everything. But,
Yeah, okay.
Don't look at me like you don't know.
Okay. So,
But, yeah, he was there. And
looks the part. I mean, obviously he's a freshman. We're talking Xavier Foster.
I don't know that he's 6'10 right now, but I fully believe that he will be, in 4 years. I mean,
he's 15 years old.
Right. Yeah. He's 15, 14 years old. Yeah.
And he can dunk off the baseline. When the ball's sitting on the ground, he can pick it up and dunk it.
That's all you got to be able to do.
Right now, Iowa State and Iowa has two offers.
And Creighton.
Creighton offered
him last week. Yeah.
Okay.
He actually went to – we didn't see when he even get to talk about this because you – messed everything up last week. He went to the...
You just turned the page.
He went to the Team USA Junior National Minicamp out in Colorado Springs.
Oh, okay.
Got invited to that.
I'm telling you what, this kid is going to be a big-time player.
And I think that's...
This is a big recruit for Iowa State and a big recruit for Iowa. My only hope is for Iowa, who will be their coach then when he shows up there? Who will be their coach?
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing about Fran McCaffrey is he does have a son coming in to play for him next year.
Yeah.
So you would believe that he's still going to be there. But I don't think that's a foregone conclusion. Where I feel pretty confident that in 2020, when this kid shows up, Steve Prohm is still going to be Iowa State's basketball coach.
I agree.
As far as early on recruiting, I think that's a selling point for Iowa State.
Not only that,
we have a better basketball program, better fan base, better place to play.
The interesting thing is just going to be if he gets essentially priced out of Iowa State's range. That's something that I don't think that will happen, but somebody else brought that up to me. I go on a radio show on Mondays.
Yeah.
And he asked me if I thought that he would get too big for Iowa State. And I don't know that I agree with that take, but
I think
that he will get big like that.
Yeah, no, I think he will too, but I think he would be priced at Iowa State's range if he was from Tennessee.
Right.
And that's what had me kind of taken aback
by the comment where I was like, I mean, the kid is from Iowa.
Yeah.
Like, let's not pretend that he's the number one recruit in the country from somewhere else.
And this isn't the same deal as when Harrison Barnes came here and Iowa State was winning 15 games a year under Greg McDermott.
Yeah.
And they were trying to recruit against North Carolina. Iowa State's got a program to sell now. They have a huge program to sell.
Carolina. He says Carolina.
You think he's going to Carolina, huh?
Who knows if Roy Williams
could be gone by then, or maybe the NCAA will finally step up and sanction them for what they do down there. But do you understand what I'm saying, though? Harrison Barnes, Marcus Page, those days are different for Iowa State. I think those days are gone. I think an Iowa kid who's got any interest in staying home, being by his family, Iowa State's a lot more enticing than it was back then. Because not only was Iowa State losing games and not doing anything and getting
embarrassed. It didn't look like there's really much of a direction.
Hilton Coliseum, people forget, Hilton Coliseum went through a time period where it was dead in there.
Yeah.
It's back to magic again. There was a time during the Greg McDermott days where we're sitting there saying, where are the students? The students aren't showing up. Why are the fans so quiet? Well, they're quiet because the team sucks, right?
I thought that – I don't want to throw them under the bus, but I thought it was a very uninformed question.
No, I think it's a fair question. Who asked you the question, if you don't mind me asking?
It was Derek at KMA.
I don't know, Derek.
I think it's a
fair question, and then I think the rebuttal would be, a lot's changed in the last 6-7 years.
Yeah.
Thanks to Fred Hoiberg, and now Steve is taking it over, and doesn't look like it's going to be slowing down at all for Iowa State. They're going to be anywhere from second to fourth in the Big 12 this year. That's a selling point for Iowa State, and I don't care where you go. You go anywhere in the country. I've been to Fog Allen. I've been to, Kansas State's got a nice little arena with fans there too.
Yeah.
Hilton Magic is as good as any place in the country. That's a selling point. It wasn't the case 6-7 years ago, though. It wasn't. I mean, Harrison Barnes used to come to all these Iowa State games, watch us lose, watch 10,000 people there, maybe 12,000 on a good day, and it was quiet, though. It wasn't the same. So I don't think – I still say to this day, Harrison might have gone to North Carolina, but I think if Fred Hoiberg was here or if Iowa State was winning, I think he probably would have been a Cyclone. We'll never know.
I was gonna say it's. We'll never know.
But I mean, I think it's a lot harder to say if Iowa State's in the top 15 every year or top 25 like they've been for the last how many 5-6 years.
Yeah.
It's easier for a kid to stay in state.
Yeah. You know I would agree. And
this kid's a big recruit. He really is. And not only that, because 6'10 kids that are athletic are hard to find. Usually, if you go get a 6'9, 6'10 kid, they're a project, right? You look at like a Simeon Carter. It's going to take him a couple years to be ready. You look at most of Iowa State, Justin Hamilton, right? Guy's playing in the NBA. Remember him the first couple years at Iowa State?
No.
Exactly. Exactly. He didn't stand out. I mean, but he developed, right? Yeah. If you can get a kid who is ready to play early at 6'10", 6'11", that's huge. You just don't find that, especially at Iowa State. So I think that's why it's a big recruit. You can go out, you can find guards. It's hard to find
bigs
that are that good.
He's skinny, too. You can tell he's still growing.
Well, he's 15, 14 years old. Yeah. You're skinny. You're 22, 23.
I'm probably not still growing, though.
And I've seen you eat bebop still all the time. You're still skinny. It pisses me off.
I love bebops.
I eat bebops. My belly hangs 10 feet out.
It's because of the exercise coach. They got me in good shape.
No, you're just skinny. You're young still.
I tip dunked on somebody at the rec last night.
No one cares about your dunks. You need to quit eating that bebops, though. At some point, it's going
to
stop.
Bebops gives me the fuel to dunk on everybody.
You did tip dunk on somebody?
Yeah.
I watched you miss 8 dunks when I played against you.
It's because we were playing an outdoor hoop.
Are they higher up there, the outdoor hoops? Are they above the 10 feet
no,
legal?
I really did, though.
Yell at him?
No, I didn't. Only saved that for you.
Did you Dikembe Mutombo, nah, 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 like right at him? Did you finger wag him at all?
No, I actually was kind of surprised that I did it. I kind of surprised myself.
Oh, good for you. The reoccurring theme here is you always like to talk about yourself when it comes to basketball here.
How?
Always about your dunking ability.
I think this might be the first time I've ever brought it up.
I don't think so. Who else was in town?
Cedar Falls point guard AJ Green.
So I watched this kid's video.
Yeah.
Who you got for a comparison for him? What do you think of this kid? You think this is a kid Iowa State ends up pulling the trigger and offering? Because right now his offers are Minnesota, Northern Iowa, North Dakota, and South Dakota State. Mm. You think Iowa State ever pulls the trigger on this kid?
His dad is a coach at Northern Iowa. I'll throw that in there just while I'm thinking.
Yeah,
but
South Dakota State, I mean, that's the same caliber as Northern Iowa. Minnesota obviously is a good school. I mean,
I think that they probably will.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't think that they will?
I don't know. I mean, this is a name that kind of popped up.
I can't remember. Is he 2018, 2019?
He's 2018.
Yeah.
Number two player in the class, 2000 for 247. He's 6'1", 3-star.
I mean, he's a nice player.
He looks like a shooting guard in a point guard's body to me.
Yeah.
That's what I look at him. I look at him and I say, man, if he was 6'3", 6'4", yeah, I'd like him. Maybe he's a Matt Thomas type player, you know what I mean? Because he's got a nice stroke. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's athletic enough to be able to be a point guard. You know.
His stroke's good. His stroke's smooth, though.
You know, I'm trying to think of other Iowa point guards like Mike Gesell, but Mike Gesell couldn't shoot the ball. Mike Gesell, you couldn't shoot the three. This kid, could shoot it, but at 6'1 in the Big 12, you got to be able to get by. They got to respect you as far as going by him as well, too.
Right.
Do you foresee him? And we're saying this kid's a junior. That's my question for him.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I think he was a good in high school. But he has to be a kid that really impressed people like on the summer trail, you know?
AJ Green.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and he's got a great name.
Well, that's true.
AJ Green's been doing pretty good for me in fantasy football. So,
has he?
So this kid's got to be pretty good.
Fair enough.
So AJ Green was in town. So we actually have two Iowa kids that we're offering. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, too. It's been a long time since we recruited anybody from the state of Iowa.
Yeah. That's very true.
I mean.
Well, and then they had another kid that was here. I mean, he doesn't have an offer, but Tyreek LaCour from Des Moines North, he doesn't have an offer, but he's apparently been getting interest from other schools. I couldn't find like a 247 profile for him or anything.
So this is kind of goes back to the kid that Iowa State offered too, that Kansas has offered. This kid, Tyreek, is 5'9".
Yeah.
And I like bigger point guard. I do. And I think a lot of it is I've seen Iowa State small guards just get burned before in the past, and Tavon Sledge can make it, and You forget Corey McIntosh. Remember how small Corey McIntosh was? That was probably before your time.
I don't know who that is, yeah.
I like bigger, stronger point guards, but then you see guys like Tyler Ulis come out 5'8", 5'9", if that, and dominate and play really well too. So and maybe the way the game is spread out and more three-point balls, maybe size for point guards isn't as big of a deal as it used to be.
And like I was talking about before, like with this event, like these guys that they brought in, like I'm not going to pretend that they're the best guys they're going to go after in these classes, you know. You, like we've talked about some of the other names that they've already of guys they've offered in the 2018-19 class.
Four
that
or five
are
stars.
Five stars that are in the top 10 nationally, you know. Like, and so like I don't know. Like I don't even know what to read into some of it.
Well, and I'm not saying this for Tyreek either, but the reason these events are good too, and you've hit on this before in the past, is Iowa State could probably stand have maybe some better walk-ons on the team.
Right, and I think that that that's where this would
this
come
right
into play.
Here, and not I'm not this comes right after we're talking about Tyreek. I'm not saying he's a walk-on caliber player by any means, but you, I'll never forget when I was in high school. There's kids in my basketball team that Iowa State would give tickets to all the time. They weren't Iowa State level players, but Iowa State gave them tickets to any game they wanted to go to. Why? Because they just need to keep tabs on it because maybe this kid does grow to be good enough to get a become a walk-on player for us.
Right,
Iowa State could use some good walk-on basketball players that you could have, you know, to practice against every day.
I mean, if nothing else, some of these kids from the state of Iowa are going to be guys that are going to come in and work hard and give you a good look, I would think, in practice, you know. Like, on paper, that seems like, in my mind, that would be how it would be.
Because kids from Iowa work harder than kids from other states.
No, that's not what I mean. I'm just saying, like, let's think about who the walk-ons are at Iowa State right now.
Yeah.
Read between the lines of what I'm trying to say.
Are you going
to
say their names?
Stu and Wes.
Stu and Wes, yeah.
Read between the lines of what I'm trying to say.
I don't know what you're trying to say. Why don't you just tell me what you're trying to say?
I don't even – you can get on and read Stu's profile about what he did in high school.
Yeah?
And you can understand what I'm trying to
say. Why are you killing Stu on here, man?
I'm not trying to kill Stu.
No, but I
respect that Stu is on the team. I respect that he works hard. And it's funny because I watch him at – Cap City, and you can tell that he has gotten a lot better.
Sure, if you're playing basketball every single day for your life, you're going to get better.
Yeah, and I give him mad props because he wasn't very good before.
You know, one of the worst, saddest parts of Greg McDermott's career, I think, is people forget he actually did a really good job of bringing out walk-ons. The problem was then he would lose scholarship players, and he'd have to play those walk-ons.
Yeah.
Brian Peterson is killing it as a head coach now at – where's he?
Kirkwood. Kirkwood,
yeah.
Just won the national championship.
National championship, doing a great job. I wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, be a – Division I coach sometime soon as an assistant or something. But he was a great walk-on. Problem was, is all of a sudden you kick off Mike Taylor, you lose some other guys, and Brian Peterson's a starting walk-on. And so people remember it was Brian Peterson as not being, you know, just the great walk-on he is. Same thing for Sean Huluska. Sean Huluska was a great walk-on.
I think about, like, Nick Bear at Iowa. Like, that kid would be a heck of a guy that's, like, your 10th man on the bench.
Great walk-on.
You know?
He's going to be a starter for Iowa this year. He'll be one of the top five players on that team.
But let's be honest. If Iowa was really good, he wouldn't be. You know?
You know what? I like that kid. I'm not going to say that about him.
And that's what
– He'll be one of the top two or three players on that team
this
year.
And he was first-team All-State in Class 4A.
Yeah.
And I find it hard to believe that there's not one or two of those guys that's on that first-team class, like in Class 4A that's, like, why not give him a look?
Yeah.
You know?
Go – Well, here's a fine line, though, right? If you're going to have a GPA plays into this a little bit,
right,
doesn't it?
Well, there's always a fine line with it, you know.
You got to go find these players to be walk-ons, but they got to be good students, too, because you want them to help balance that kind of the GPA for your team. So, it's not a perfect science, and usually those kids that are 4A that are studs, they're going to get a scholarship from somewhere. It might be a lower level.
And see, that's what it comes down to. It's like, if I was a coach, it'd be like, would you rather go and play at, say, Northwest Missouri State, Division II, pretty good Division II, or would you rather come walk on at Iowa State and say, if you get to Iowa State, you work for 1 year, it doesn't work out. You don't like it for whatever reason.
Yep.
You redshirted. You got 4 years to go play at Northwest.
So which one would you rather do?
Which one would I rather do?
Yeah.
If I'd been given a chance to walk on, I would have done it.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the question. Let's say I was an athlete and I got an offer to walk on Iowa State. I would take Iowa State because I'm a huge Iowa State fan. Let's say Northern Iowa came and they said, hey, we want you to walk on. Or somebody at a smaller school said, well, you could come be a starter here for us. I think me as a competitive person would probably say, I want to play.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like sitting. I want to play. I think the only time where you really got to find these walk-ons are the kids that love Iowa State. And they're cool with walking on because their dream is to be, you know, running out, playing in Hilton, even if it's warm-ups, right? Or at the end of a game. That's the kind of kid you got to go after, too. I'm guessing that Bear kid grew up a Hawkeye fan, would be my assumption. Otherwise, they're probably not getting a kid that talented to walk on there.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of contributing factors as far as getting kids to walk on, but Iowa State can do a better job of getting walk-ons on their basketball team. And I think events like this are probably a good way of building, you know,
relationships
with these kids.
Yeah. One other piece of news that we need to talk about is Keyshawn Feasel, decommitted from Iowa State.
Who?
Abruptly announced that he would be signing with the Mississippi State Bulldogs and your boy Ben Howland.
Ben Howland. Hell of a recruiter Ben Howland is.
We've been talking about him for months on this podcast.
People are probably tired of it. It's kind of interesting. Usually when a kid decommits, you see some signs like maybe they'd gone on a visit or anything. Yeah. That just came out of nowhere.
Right. It was just one day he decommitted and committed.
It's like you think you're in a loving relationship and you show up and all the furniture's gone and she took all her clothes and there's like just a little handwritten note that says, see you later, piss off. I mean, that's pretty much what it was like. Not that that ever happened to me. My wife loves me. But yeah, it's unfortunate, you know, because he did play at a position that I think is a need. You know, like I said, it's a 6'8", 6'7", athletic guy that can play some defense, block some shots.
I'd say of the three commits that they had, he's the easiest one to lose, though.
Yeah, especially with the style of play that we typically, you know, more guard-oriented. Yeah, there's no question. But I would also say it's probably been a position of ours that we've struggled to recruit the most as well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So, you know, you go both sides of that. But the way the college game is anymore, you can pick up a kid at grad transfer at that position like we saw this last year with Holden to fill that void. So I'm not too worried about it. It's a bummer. He obviously is a pretty good player. Ben Howland's recruiting him. I don't care what people say. Ben Howland knows players. He gets players. So that from that aspect of it hurts. But I think it just means Stokes is even more of an important get.
Stokes, and it's like all just hanging in the balance right now with those two
Stokes
guys.
Stokes and Wigginton. Okay,
dude, Wigginton's like – he always seems like he's mad on Twitter.
I don't follow him.
I kept thinking that he was going to announce a decision, so I had notifications on for him for a while. Every day I'll just get like an angry notification for a tweet.
He's got a chip on his shoulder, man. That's
I guess
what you
so.
Want. You want that chip on his shoulder.
So.
Here's the thing, though, okay? The recruiting class has been going pretty good. Fees will just decommitted. Me and you both say bummer, but not shouldn't be a big deal. They should be able to replace it. But if they don't get Wigginton or Stokes.
All of a sudden, yeah. Yeah.
I still think they're going to get Wigginton, though. I still feel good about that.
I still feel good about that one, too.
Yeah, I think they get
Stokes
Wigginton.
Just visited Florida.
Yep. Could you even name Florida's coach right now?
Matt White, right? Something like that?
That sounds about right. Which is weird. Billy Donovan has been there for years. That's a team that won two national championships not too long ago, and I couldn't even name their coach off the top of my head.
I think it's Matt White or something like that.
Okay.
It's something. He came from Louisiana Tech. I remember where he came from, but I don't remember what his name is.
They're struggling.
Matt White. I knew it was close.
I knew
it was something like that.
Patrick, we need you around all the time to fact check us in the middle. Maybe we'll make ourselves look like such idiots.
That's pretty much impossible.
Yeah, but so Stokes, though, 20%, 25, 50, 75. Come on, Jared, put a number on it. Put your own crystal ball prediction on this one.
It's so hard because he doesn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
you know what, though? I like that so much more. I know you being the writer, you want the story. You want to contact him. And
it's
frustrating. I get the frustration part of it, and I'd be frustrated too. From someone who follows recruiting a lot and see a lot of these kids that do like media attention and do like playing it up for fun, I respect a kid that goes on his five visits, checks it out, plays it the whole process, but doesn't play it up publicly on Twitter, on social media, in the news.
So
I respect that.
Isaiah Stokes is essentially the anti-Corona Fees.
Corona Fees. Yeah, and I'm not killing Corona Fees, all right? He's a 16, 17, 18-year-old kid. Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be recruited.
Right.
Do what you got to do. But it is refreshing, isn't it? And in the world where everyone, every time they get any kind of offer, they're tweeting it out with all sorts of stuff, and they're, you know, playing the emotions of the fan bases back and forth.
Yeah.
Cool. Good for you, man. Do what you got to do. I think I'm more of a Stokes kind of guy, though.
I'm more of a
just lay back and just play out the process kind of guy.
It's hard to even remember what recruiting was like before Twitter. Like, I think back to even when I would...
Well, that's because you were like, well, 2 years old.
Well, like, I remember following recruiting, like, when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And you never saw updates with... Like, you saw updates with guys, you know, once in a while. It wasn't like it is now where it's, like, guys would be getting... You'd have an update with a kid every week almost.
Yeah.
You know? And, or, like, constantly it's, like, we're getting, like, a constant... feel of how this is going with this kid.
Could you imagine how difficult it is for a coach in recruiting? You constantly have to be on these kids in different ways, text messages, DMs,
yeah,
everything. Where before, I feel like, you know, you spend some time talking to them on the phone and you recruit them, but I feel like the way that these kids can have information overload and so many people talking about it, you have to stay in constant contact with them, don't you?
Yeah.
You feel like somebody could build a relationship with a kid so much quicker nowadays, it seems like.
Yeah,
maybe I'm just over talking, thinking this, but yeah, I would hate to be a college basketball recruiter, especially, but just a college recruiter in general. I think it's one of those jobs that's kind of a thankless job for the most part, right?
Yeah.
People forget it. They remember who you didn't get a lot of times. Iowa State fans still talk about Rashad Vaughn, Cheek Diallo, guys that they didn't get.
Yeah, you get remembered for the mess ups more than you do the successes sometimes. Yep. All right.
What, anything else? Oh, did Marquise Walker, did he visit?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Yeah.
His 4-star recruit.
Yeah. He's good. He's a nice little
player. So you're sitting here, you're ripping on their event here, and they brought in some good players. Like, what's your problem? I don't get it.
No,
Like, what is your problem? These coaches,
not ripping the event.
These coaches' staff did a good job. They bring in Torrance Watson, who's a 3-4-star recruit when it's all said and done.
Not ripping the event.
They bring in AJ Green. They bring in some serious players here. And you say, well, is it really worth it?
No, that's not what I said.
No, I think it's a good event. I wish I could have taken my family to it. I understand what you're saying. My guess is this was, what, second, third year they've done it. It's going to continue to get better and better every year.
Yeah.
And they're going to figure out ways to make it better. And especially now, too, Prum can put his own little touch on it and then kind of let those people run wild with it. But you can't build this stuff overnight, especially when you're going up against other schools that have been doing it for a lot longer than us.
Right. And that's – I don't know. Maybe yeah. Iowa State should have been doing it a lot longer than they have.
They should have. Especially, I mean, Fred Hoiberg. I'm sorry.
As soon as he came back, they
should have been doing it.
I've heard that Fred wanted to do it, and it never came through for a while.
Well, didn't they have to get it to where they could work together with the women's basketball team on that? Which is great, mm-hmm. right? I'm all about that.
Yeah.
So did they play like a pickup game together or something?
Yeah, they mixed the teams.
Mm-hmm. Which team won?
I have no idea.
What, you weren't there?
No, I was, but I didn't pay any attention. Once the dunk contest was over, I was done.
How about Jackson?
Yeah, yeah.
25 for 30.
I think I'm gonna write about him this afternoon. He's good, dude.
25 for 30.
Iowa State is going to be really good this year,
yeah,
he's going to have a big role. I don't know what that means, but he'll be big time.
You know, it's funny because when I heard Prum say something about like Monte Morris, we'd like to keep him around the 30-minute range. And at first, I'm thinking, how the heck do you keep in that? Oh, Donovan Jackson.
Donovan Jackson.
That's how you do that.
Yeah.
Jackson, oh, he'll play 20 plus minutes because they'll put him in there for Matt. They'll put him in there for Naz.
Right. And
people forget about Naz too. He has a hip. I bet they'll try to limit his minutes, especially early in the year, right?
Yeah. And this is what I was talking about with Rob yesterday on the seniors. Rudy Gay is going to get traded for Goran Dragic.
So you were talking to Rob Gray about Rudy Gay, huh?
No, I was talking to him about these guards. And when you have this many good guards, you can do so much different stuff. Like, you have so much like, the world is your oyster.
You have tools. Like he said, you want to do a three-quarters press?
Yeah.
You can do that now because, hey, you play balls to the wall for 4 minutes, and don't worry, I got someone coming in for you. Iowa State hasn't had that luxury in a long, long time.
Right. Even with the bigs, I feel like they've got some room to do that, you know?
In Iowa State, you know, they had great teams under Hoiberg, but they weren't deep.
Right.
They weren't deep at all. It'll be interesting to see Jackson. I don't think it's going to be too much of a drop-off when you put him in there for either Monte, Naz, or Matt. I think he'll be able to, you know, get to the hoop, hit some threes like we've seen. The question for him is going to be defense. You never know with these guys the first time they come in and play against a Big 12 opponent. How are they going to be on defense?
They have like 9 guys that I feel good about them being on the floor.
Let's list them.
Okay. Monte.
Yep.
Matt. Naz. Deontay. Nick Babb. Donovan. Holden. Bowie. And Solomon.
Okay.
Am I forgetting anybody?
No. You know, it's funny. They've really talked up Nick Babbitt last month.
Yeah.
Because I know last year big thing was they said Nick Babb, if he was eligible, he'd be in a rotation. But you didn't hear a whole lot besides that about Nick Babb.
Right.
And they've really talked him up late. And my only hope for Nick Babb
is... Well, I mean, as much as anything, it's because we hadn't talked to him for a long time, too.
Yeah, you know? But, I mean, I remember a lot of the times when Iowa State had other players sit out.
Yeah.
They got talked up quite a bit when they were sitting out.
Dude, I remember when Nader sat out. I didn't even know who he was. That was, like, my first year at Iowa State. And I nobody ever talked about him.
Oh, I would hear people all the time up there tell me this guy finishes in the lane better than anyone we have.
Yeah.
That was...
I wasn't...
So, in my head, I was thinking... And it took him one more year than I was hoping, but he ended up being really damn good.
Yeah. How's he doing now? Do we know? Is he with the Red Claws or something?
Maine?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Good for him, too. You know, that'd be tough when turning down the big contract from overseas to stay to chase your NBA dream, but I respect the hell out of it.
I think the D-League is going to be – the face of the D-League is going to change in the next 3 or 4 years.
You think they'll throw some more money at it?
That's what – when they announce this new CBA here in the next month and a half, I think that will be a big piece of it. They're gonna make it so that you can get some guys. And this is another thing. I wouldn't be surprised if they make it so you can go straight from high school to the D-League.
Yep, you're probably right on that, which – I'd have no problem with. Personally.
I wouldn't either.
I wish
you might not be able to get drafted by the NBA, but you might have to. So you might have to be in the D League for a year. But I wouldn't be surprised if that's another part of that of the new CBA.
I like the way baseball does it, right?
Yeah.
You can go straight from high school. If you go to college, you got to play for 3 years.
Yep.
It's a great rule.
Yep. I agree.
Maybe basketball. Maybe you do two. But I think there should be a little bit of, hey, if a school is going to invest in you, you got to stay for a certain amount of time.
That's a part of that CBA that hasn't been talked about much, but I think that's. There's going to be a lot of changes on that on that front.
It'll be interesting. College sports in general is just changing so much anymore. Yeah. I mean, we're stuck with this Big 12 expansion talk all the time. And
now it's over. The door's shut.
For now.
Yeah.
For now.
Never say never. In the words of Justin Bieber.
Oh, jeez. You know how many times I've had to tell Williams just to chill on that Big 12 expansion talk?
Yeah, I've heard you say it a bunch of times.
Well, because it's one of those I'll see it when I believe it type stuff, and it changed every day, it seemed like. And, you know, there's people just chasing around a story that now at the end of the day there really was no story. The story wasn't just guys talking all the time. I mean, there's a reason for everything. There's a reason they're not expanding right now. I think you'll start finding out more details on that soon. But they'll add teams at some point, but it's not now.
I can't wait until we can watch Iowa State games on the Big 12 network, digital network, Big 12 classic games. That's going to be great.
Just basketball games. We don't need to go back and watch any football, do we?
I'm sure there's some football games you could think of.
The library on that one would be pretty small. Pretty small library there. Where was I? We were talking about something, though. 9 guys. Babb being one of them. You think Young will be ready to play this year?
Young?
Yeah.
Solomon Young? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. How'd he look the other night? Did he dunk on any girls? Was there any dunking on girls?
No, there
wasn't. Did they swat any girls?
Not that I remember.
Oh, man. They should have been. They should have put one up off the backboard. Jada Buckley goes in for a layup, and Solomon Young just comes and just boom right off the backboard.
One of the girls tried to throw a lob to somebody. It was a fail. Didn't work.
She threw it to a girl or a guy?
A guy. It didn't work. You can tell they don't practice that very often.
Was she throwing it to Stu? She's got to know to throw the lob to.
I don't remember. I think she tried to throw it to Monte, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I wish I would have gotten there. My kids would have loved it. I remember growing up as a kid, Iowa State did something similar to this. They did, you know, shooting contests and stuff. Yeah. And I loved it. I mean, and that's how you grow the fan base, too. You get these kids in there young, and they see it, and they become Iowa State fans for life. And I think Iowa State does a really good job in that regard.
They have, like, a T-shirt Gatling gun. No, like a spinning gun that shoots T-shirts.
It's awesome.
One hit me in the hand, and I dropped it.
That's not – why do you admit stuff like this?
I got to get some work on the jugs machine.
Chris
Carter
said if it hits you in the hands, you got to catch it.
I know. I tried to one hand. I tried to showboat it. Like, who was the guy that was going off on Trevor Ryan that day for trying to make the showboat catch?
I don't know, but you went Dondre Daley on it, and you dropped it.
Yeah. All right, let's end it there. you got anything else to add real quick?
No, I just want to thank Patrick for coming on once again and talking a little bit about the exercise coach in West Des Moines. Really happy with the sponsorship that we have and the you know, the commitment that they have to the podcast. It's great, and they do a good job over there. So anyone that's looking to get a good workout in and feel better about themselves, especially heading into the holidays when you typically don't feel good about yourself. Most people get down with the holidays and they hate themselves. Don't feel that way. Go on the exercise coach. Give them a call, 515-330-1299. Tell them Cycling Fanatic sent you. Get four free workouts.
Why don't you tell them about the thing we just put on the homepage, too?
We actually have a couple things to talk about.
The goofy people that want to come hang out with you.
So, yeah, everyone listening here, hopefully they haven't turned it off yet. We are going to be taking two buses down to the Kansas game. We're going to try to get 110 Iowa State fans down there. Go cheer on the Cyclones and get a victory. 4 years ago, we did the very first ever Cyclone Fanatic bus trip. Went down there. There's a Sam Richardson game. Witnessed a victory. Had a heck of a time. And we've taken, I don't know, 5-6 bus trips since then. Always have a good time, win or lose. But the great thing about it is you go down there. We have Wi-Fi. We have DirecTV on there. You're watching college football game day. You're watching college football on the way back. You can drink on the bus. BYOB. We'll have pizza down there. $100 a person.
I like how you snuck that one in there.
What?
The BYOB.
BYOB. And if you guys want to bring me a beer, I'll probably drink it. You know, you want to share? The metabolic challenge might not be done by then, guys, but I might sneak a beer at it. We'll see. We'll see on that one. We'll go down there. We'll come back. Tickets included. Lunch is included. We'll have some pizza. $100 per person.
One Benjamin. All right.
Also, another plug. Next Thursday night.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this.
Tip-off party. Next Thursday, the 27th, Thunderhead Bar and Grill in Ankeny. Tip-off party. This will be maybe the seventh tip-off party we've done. Special guests. I think anybody who's ever been to our party know who the special guests are going to be. We will pick them up, bring them down. They'll get there about 6:30. I would recommend anybody that wants to be there, try to get there a little earlier. Yeah. Save yourself a spot while you're waiting there. Get some food. Get some drinks. Thank Thunderhead for putting this on.
Are you actually going to save me a spot this year?
Yeah, I'll save you a spot. I saved you a spot last year. Quit being a baby.
I'm going to have to host the CF radio show by myself.
No, we'll get Woody on with you.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
We'll get Woody on with you.
Well, yeah. Except for, no, Johnston's going to lose this weekend, and then Roosevelt's going to make playoffs.
I'm a DCG boy now, buddy.
I knew I'd get you with that one.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, everybody, for listening.